Well, so in the minutes, Vince, if you wanted to record that Keith and Vince are present, and Jamie from the ACC
And
is
Mo too.
also on the call, and Mo. So we have a
A full.
full board.
So we've started?
No.
Not yet. Okay. We're still waiting for participants.
I think we could start because I'm gonna have to leave early tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, then, without objection, then let's get this thing on the road here. Call to order at 1903, 7:03 p.m. First thing on the business or on the agenda is old business, and I just kind of went from what we had from last meeting. Vince, I put you first. Gathering information on installing light poles on city property and around mailboxes or possibly a fence post owned by a member. Do you have any more information on that?
I have not been able to look into that. I'm still waiting on a return phone call on that. I'll go down to the city office probably sometime this month to see if I can find somebody who has the authority.
Okay. Second on your list, research safety lighting that will fit the new requirements. Then provide picture of the lighting available and check on required permits and costs. And I think that's kind of combined with the third thing,
Right.
sending a link to us. I haven't seen the link. Could you get that to us,
So
please?
before we do that, I need to know if we can, so the most viable solution is to install one of those mounted lights that we can put on the actual mailbox itself. Otherwise, it's going to require installing a standalone pole, which is going to be significantly higher cost. So I'm thinking after they replace those mailboxes, if we could just get cheap replaceable night lighting, solar lighting, that would probably be the best solution.
Can you just
But
send us, like links for both that you've looked at? Because that would be helpful.
okay. I haven't got any actual bids on that yet.
Okay. That, well, we're just looking at what they look like because it's
So just
visualize
to be
this.
clear, how many mailboxes, if we were to install the poles, how many poles would be required?
Seven.
Vince, oh, I was like, Vince, did you go drive around and look? I
I
don't know
did,
how
but
many there are. Well, how many are
I
there? I
counted
think
there's
about
seven.
six,
I think there's
but
seven.
I can go around again.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we said at a previous board meeting that there were seven. So, six or seven. I'm pretty sure it was seven, though.
Okay. Well, just keep
Okay.
me honest.
So
I can verify that.
okay.
just
And
sounds like that's not going to happen. I mean, not that he's not going to check, but just that it's too hard to get lighting for our mailboxes. Like, that's not going to happen.
well, I do know that when I talked to the post office back in September, they told me that if we wanted to put a light on the mailbox, that would require permission from the post office. But if
Right.
we wanted to put up a pole, that would require permission from the city of Round Rock, because those post office boxes are on Round Rock property.
Okay, I'm just saying, it seems like it's a bigger headache than
Well, we just kind
what's
of
reasonable.
we keep going around in circles here. Maybe we need to break out of
Yeah.
the circle a little bit. But again, if we could get some visualization as to what we're looking at, then I can maybe take that to the post office and say, or send it to the postmaster or something and say, hey,
Did you
we'd like
find
to
out who the
put these on.
postmaster is for our area? I have
Huh?
not been able, the actual postmaster. Have
Right.
you got for our area? Do you have his name, his email contact information?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe that's something Vince can look into since he's like the posted mailbox lighting expert.
So, Vince, would you send us some of the things you've looked at so that we have something to kind of
Okay, I'll have something ready
visual,
by next meeting.
and also see if you can contact the postmaster and ask him, look, we want to put lighting on the mailboxes to help reduce crime in Bradford Park, and see what they say, because we got a thing we're going to have to deal with here later in the on the agenda about mailboxes. So
Right. So those have to be replaced first before we can do that. At least
well, that particular one, but there's others that don't need replaced yet. So,
how many are damaged?
One that I know of.
Okay.
The one at Elizabeth Ann and Bradford Park Drive.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, moving on. So Vince did the minutes for 9:28. I'd like to bring those up. We sent them around to all directors. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So everyone should have had a chance to read these. I make a motion that we approve these minutes. Do I hear a second?
I approve.
I'm sorry?
Second? Second, Vince?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Vince, seconds. A second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, will you please poll the board?
How do you vote, Keith?
Yes.
Okay, Keith votes yes. And you, Molly?
Yes.
And I also agree.
Okay. And
it's approved from last.
Next on the list is we've been pushing this back and pushing this back and pushing this back. The 3:30 board meeting minutes. Say that three times fast. We finally have them. I did them at the last meeting, and Vince started them, but we never finished them. So I just used the ones that I did at the last meeting. I sent these around. I asked if anyone had any heartburn about it. No one said anything. Actually, I sent them around twice. So I make a motion that we approve these minutes. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, will you please poll the board?
Okay, so second vote. So how do you vote, Keith?
Yes.
On approving the motion? Okay, Keith votes yes. And you, Molly?
Yes.
And I also agree.
Okay. Next on the list, just like with the last one, was the 5:25 board meeting minutes. Again, I sent them around twice. I haven't heard anything. So all of us should have had time to at least read them. I make a motion that we approve these minutes. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, would you please poll the board?
How do you vote, Keith?
Yes.
How do you vote, Molly?
Yes.
Yep, I approve as well.
Outstanding. So we're moving on. Mo, you're up with the post-mortem of NNO. How did that go?
I think it went really well. I was late getting there because I had to work, but Keith was great about meeting the event. I don't know. I guess he wasn't just the bouncy house supplier, but he supplied our popcorn machine and cotton candy machine and a table and all the accoutrements. How do you say that? All the other stuff that goes with it. So he brought popcorn and cotton candy powder, and then Keith's wife Tanya and Irene Turner helped make cotton candy and popcorn for the kids, and fire department came out and the police came out, and one of the police officers brought his drone that he uses for the department, and he just hung out the whole time. We had Smoky Mo's and we gave away gift cards, and it was just a blast. I had a blast.
I had fun. It was when everybody started showing up at first, I didn't know what to do. I'm not really a kind of a party guy or a host kind of guy, but people kind of pitched in and helped out, and we just handled it. So I think it went well as well. So, I want to thank you, Molly, for planning everything, because you planned that entire event. All I did was show up and help set up and take down. That was pretty much it. So, again, all credit goes to you. You did an amazing job.
Thank you. It was it's always a pleasure, and I love that kind of thing. So it works out well.
You do it very, very, very well. All right. Well, we're going to move on. On my list was to update the BPHOA.info site. I did. I helped with and attended 3-0. I did. Well, NNO, same thing. Signed a security policy at the notary. Send to Mr. Brown a request copy for our and Goodwin's records. Did that. It's been recorded. It's also on BPHOA.info. So if you want to go and look at it, you can look at it there. And we did all the minutes just now, so we're done. Is Jamie here?
He was.
He was. Okay. He called me earlier and said he may or may not be at this meeting. So he updated me as to what's going on. First, he signed the security policy because I couldn't sign the security policy until he did. So he did that. And on the curb painting project, he said that him and his son, James, went around to the ones that we had received emails that they've said that they wanted their curb painted. And they painted the, not the curb itself, but part of the apron of the driveway, because the kit from Round Rock doesn't allow you to actually do the curb. And he also said that the template that they use, that they give you from Round Rock, is not very good. And it's kind of, he said it was a mess. And he says it took longer than he thought it would, because you have to paint it first, let it dry. And then once it's dry, you come back and you spray paint the numbers over the paint that you've just done. And it's, he says it takes a while. He said that if we were going to do any more of these, he would recommend that we go and get our own kit. He said that
before we talk about getting our own kit, I talked to somebody at the city. I just want to throw that out so we can discuss it further later.
Okay. Well, we can discuss it. Okay. We'll do that. We'll do that. But that's what he told me. And he also said that there was some issues with people having their cars parked over the apron to where he couldn't do it. But all the ones that were on that had sent him an email to change BPHOA@gmail.com. All of those were done. So those folks who requested them, they got it done. Now he asked that anyone who wants theirs done from this point forward, send him an email at, again, changebphoa@gmail.com, and he will make sure that it gets done. So, and again, I want to thank both him and his son, James, for doing that for us, because apparently the Boy Scouts were not going to do it for us. We discussed that before in a previous board meeting, but apparently that wasn't going to work. So, and let's see. So that's pretty much it for that. New business. We approved all those minutes, and we're down to the mailbox. There's a broken mailbox on Bradford Park Drive near Elizabeth Ann Lane, and it's been that way since February. I keep getting emails, so does Joe, from homeowners saying, when's this thing going to be fixed? I've talked to the post office twice. The last time I went in person to the Double Creek post office, and the best they could tell me at that time is that it's been ordered. I haven't talked to them since. I can, that's not a problem. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're going to tell me the same thing. It's been ordered. We don't know when it's going to be installed. I did tell the person that's been complaining the most that it's not an HOA function, because this is literally the federal government. However, we can, according to the post office, pay for a mailbox and then pay to either have it installed or pay for the mailbox and have the post office install it. It's up to us at that point. But if they've already ordered one, they just need to install it. Question is when that will that happen? And what I told the person who was complaining the most was perhaps he needed to write his elected representatives, Ted Cruz, what's his name, John Cornyn, and whoever I think it's Pete Sessions for our area, and see if they can get the post office to move, because apparently they're moving very, 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 very slowly. So
it's like their mail. I wonder if we should also write a letter from the homeowners association to our elected
We could
representatives.
do that. We could do that. Would you be willing to sign it as well, both of you, Vince and Mo?
I would sign it.
Okay, cool. I can
Okay.
draft it and we could
Email the letter to me and I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Okay. Because we need to get that done. We need to get something moving on that. And again, I encourage the person that's been complaining the most to attend this meeting. I don't think they're here, but if they are, there's not a lot we can do. We're doing all we know how, we all we can think of to do to get it taken care of. And maybe we need to, like I said, write a letter to our elected representatives on behalf of the homeowners and say, look, this is unacceptable. You people need to get the post office to do something.
I agree. So, who are we sending it to exactly so I can document this?
We would be sending it to, well, I'd be sending it to the Postmaster General of the United
Yes,
States.
that's who I was thinking of.
The local postmaster, as well as Senator Ted Cruz, Senator John Cornyn, and I think our re new representative is Pete Sessions here in this part of Texas.
So Ted Cruz,
John Cornyn
Okay.
and Pete Sessions. So that's both of our senators and our elected representative.
Spell his last name, Pete.
Sessions?
Just like Sessions.
Yeah.
Sessions. Okay. So if we were to take the initiative and buy the new mailboxes and install them ourselves in the future, if they got damaged or destroyed, would then the HOA be responsible for the any future replacement costs? Would we
I
take
don't think so because we're replacing something the federal government's supposed to do. And they
well.
told me that, well, the guy at the post office told me that several HOAs have done this where they've bought the boxes and then had the post office install them. But he says that the each of those set of mailboxes runs about $2,000.
Yeah, I'm kind of against buying our own mailboxes. I think that the post office should do it because it's their job and that's what we pay
And
postage
that's what they
for.
get paid for, right? That's
Yeah, I
yeah,
agree.
I kind of agree.
So
I'm aggravated that they don't move quicker than this. Like I said, it's been almost a year. It'll be a year in February.
right, we'll just add that to the letter and then we'll send it off.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Anyone got any more anything on the mailboxes issue? No. Homeowners? You got anything on the mailboxes issue?
How many homeowners do we have that here? Just so I have an accurate count.
All in the
Alan.
meeting? I don't know.
Alan is the only homeowner here. Otherwise, it's just the board.
Well, thank you for showing up,
Hi,
Alan.
Alan.
And he's on mute. He
And
probably
invisible.
has, he might have a hard time talking because he has the Golden Gate Bridge on his head.
I
Does it
can see
show
the
up with
bridge.
a Golden Gate Bridge in front of my face or no?
But
It shows up in front of your face.
it's lovely, so.
Alan's in stealth mode.
Well, anyway, I'll mute myself now.
All right. Well, if nothing more with that, we can move on to the last of the new business, and that's set the 2023 assessment rate. We had the budget that Joe put out at the last meeting in September, and we never actually finalized that. I've got that saved for executive session, but from what he showed me, there wasn't anything crazy on it, and it looks like we can keep our dues at the same rate they are now, which would be 170. So does anyone have any questions or concerns about that?
I do not.
Vince?
We should
nope.
make a
Everything went
motion to approve the budget in an open meeting. Sorry to interrupt,
in the
Vince.
open meeting or the session or
The open meeting is when we vote
so to approve it. What's the budget total? What's our operating budget total for next year projected?
We collect, and I have the budget on my screen. I'll wait until we get to that point. Do you want me to stop sharing? Sure. All right.
And what do you think, Joe? Do you think there's a need to raise that, lower it?
Absolutely not. My message is the host has disabled screen sharing. You might try to see if it lets me be the co-host.
Well, let's see what that does.
Okay, I'll try again. That did it. So remember that keystroke, because that was the magic touch. Okay, can everyone see the 2023 budget?
Yeah, it's a little small.
I'll make it bigger. Can everyone read it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the same budget that I emailed everyone. So to answer your question, Mo, we collect $170 times 278 units. That's $47,260 is our income. And then we put money in reserves, $6,000. And so the total expenses, counting the reserve transfers and expense, is just below what we collect. So we have an overage of 433, and we put $6,000 in reserves.
So the budget, what is, sorry.
Go ahead. This is when I get board input.
And that's if everybody pays, but historically right, that's we have a certain.
My question.
Yeah.
So what's the percentage of people who don't usually pay?
We'll have to save that for executive session.
No, a percentage of people, not who specifically.
I would say, Keith helped me with this. We have a handful of people.
Yeah, there's people like from this past year who haven't paid. I think that they'll probably pay at the beginning of next year because of the whole transition that we had that was messed up. But there's a core group that are chronic and haven't paid for years. That core group, it numbers somewhere around 20.
So does that create a situation where we're operating in a deficit?
It does not. We have $120,000 in the bank. And so we have 90,000 in the operating account. So we're extremely well funded.
If we continue to use what we have in the bank to make up for what people aren't paying, then we will eventually be operating in a deficit, right?
I agree with your theory, but in practice, we still have plenty of money in the operating account.
Okay, what? How much did we spend last year?
Go ahead, Keith.
Last year, we don't have complete records.
Where's the audit? Right. We should have an audit.
Yeah.
Right?
What about like January to now? Do we know?
Yes. So I'm going to stop this screen share, and we're going to move over. Okay, can everyone see the balance sheet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you can see we're very well funded. And then I'm going to go to the fourth form or the fourth report. And these are the actual numbers of assessments collected.
So what have we collected versus what have we spent?
Okay, so the answer to that question is to add these numbers. So just eyeballing it, it looks like about 25, 26, 27, 28, about 29,000. And then this report doesn't total everything up, but it gives subtotals. So about 20,000 plus about, these are budgeted numbers, but before it was zero. So this would be 23,000. We paid insurance 24, 25, 26, 27,000. So about the same.
So
we collect about 27,000. Yeah. We don't have any problem with cash flow, is the question you're asking.
Well, I'm just checking. And if we have collected 29,000, but our budget was 47,000, then is that money that we have yet to collect from homeowners? Because that's like, it's almost $20,000.
We do have a core group of people that we probably need to come up with some sort of plan to get them to encourage them to pay.
And how would you propose that, Joe? What's the most effective encouragement?
Keith, that's a sensitive topic. I'm going to let you answer that question. Can you hear me, Keith?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm smiling.
Well, I can't answer that question without.
Can we discuss it in the executive session?
Yeah, that's fine.
We can. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering, like, if we continue to be $20,000 behind in what people are supposed to pay, then we're not going to make it.
We're going to draw down our balance sheet, the $120,000.
Right. Like too much and too quickly. And so I know you want to talk about an executive session, what some of our options are, but I don't know why that would have to be an executive session if we're not talking about specific accounts. So what are some general options that we have?
I'm gonna try to avoid dancing. There is, Goodwin has a very effective collection process, and the board has opted not to use that. And I'll remind everyone on the call, I serve at the pleasure of the board. Whatever the board directs me to do, that's what I do. So if the board says that we're going to do an alternative collection method, then I leave that up to the board.
Right. And Vince and I last year, actually year before, so I think it was December of 2020, we, 2021, we came up with a collection policy. It's on bphoa.info, and I think we all approved it in the December 2021 board meeting, but I know we approved it. It might have been March that we approved it. I forget which. We did approve it, and it's out on bphoa.info to look at. That's the collection policy. If you want to make changes to that, then we need to approve a new collection policy.
I don't want to make changes to anything. I'm just wondering, like, creatively, do we need to speak to people directly? Do we need to, how do we connect to people?
So you can't
encourage them.
You can't contact people directly. That's a terrible idea.
Let me ask you a question. Our last, I believe, our last community management company actually did that, and he actually bragged about that.
Right. So Goodwin is not a collection agency, and federal law protects the homeowner from harassment. And so we have a full staff of delinquency specialists that are trained in federal law, and they know exactly what they can and can't do. The worst possible case is a board member knocks on a homeowner's door and says, "Hey, would you please pay your dues?" That can be construed as a harassment and lawsuits. And so we do everything, right? We do everything by the book. And
I was not suggesting that a board member knock on anybody's door or the property manager knock on anybody's door. I was just wondering if we could, we need to be able to connect with people. And so like having events where we're trying to have people feel like they're connected to the community, or, you know, like we need to develop, sorry, I'm next to a train track. We need to develop a closer community, and I think if we can develop a closer community, we might be able to maybe not collect from all of the delinquencies, but encourage people to invest in their community. I guess that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I like that. Anyway. My experience is that people respond to liens, and people respond to letters from a law office, intent to foreclose. And that's
right,
harsh...
like children in trouble, they respond to consequences, but
right,
we want to encourage them to take the initiative, not to respond out of fear.
Okay. I think that's a good thing to discuss. And whatever the board decides, that's what we'll implement.
I mean, the alternative is to raise the dues, and I don't know if we really want to do that.
Well, we don't want the good people to pay for the not good people. Like, you know, anyway.
Well, to a certain extent, that's been happening for a long time.
Right.
And I don't know if the ones that are chronic are going to actually decide to say, gee, maybe I should pay this. Now, I do know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, that if someone doesn't pay their dues, the current collection policy, I think it's after a year that they haven't paid their dues, they get a letter of intent to put a lien on their property. And then we put a lien on their property if they still don't pay for it. And then, Goodwin reports them to credit reporting agencies. Is that correct?
If the board chooses to, yes. Okay. We don't have to.
So if you're reporting to credit reporting agencies, then the person who owes money, we're not going to, you know, impoverish them with, you know, all these collection fees. But right, what you are doing is saying, they go to buy a car, their credit is crap. They go to get a credit card, they can't get the card because their credit is crap. They go to try to do something with the house, they can't. There's a lien on their property. So that's what the current collection policy does.
So you know what? So let's put that in the newsletter.
Okay.
As just a reminder, like to reminding people, if you haven't paid your dues, these are some of the consequences.
Do you want me to write that up?
That'd be awesome.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So getting back to the task at hand, do we want to set the let me share my screen again. Do we want to set the we have to set the assessment rate. So do we want to leave it the same at 170?
I say leave it the same. I see no reason to change it.
Okay, so let's make a motion to this. We have to actually vote on it. So I make a motion. We set the assessment rate to 170. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. Mr. Secretary, would you please pull the board?
Now do you vote Keith on setting the rate
vote
to
yes.
the same? And you, Molly?
Yes.
And I also vote yes.
And the also the budget that Joe showed us a little bit ago. Joe said we should approve this in an open board meeting. So it's not on the agenda, but we should do that in kind of as part of the assessment rate. Do you guys want to approve the budget that Joe put out? Because I didn't see anything crazy on it.
Sure.
Okay, I'll motion to approve the budget that Joe put out.
A motion has been made. Do we hear a second?
I'll second.
Ah, Vince seconds. Mr. Secretary, would you please poll the board?
How do you vote, Keith?
Yes.
And you, Molly?
Yes.
And I also vote yes.
Okay, that's that. The budget's approved. So we're back. We're down to homeowner concerns.
Assessments and the budget approved.
Sorry, Vince. We're down to homeowner concerns. Does any homeowners have any concerns that they want to talk about? Alan, you got anything?
No, no, but I could say that I'm surprised that more people aren't participating in the Zoom meeting.
Usually there's about 11 people, but I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Maybe they're sick, but anyway, that's one thing. And I think that it would be important, and that's one of the things I volunteered for, is to show the benefits of, you know, what the homeowners association is doing and the services that you're providing. People take it for granted, you know, so we may want to remind them that the, you know, these are the services. And
so I have a question. Sorry to interrupt you, but did you guys come up with a full pro and cons and
we're still working on that. We're still working on that. And Alan came up with a great idea. There's a bunch of homes between Donnell Drive and Gaddis School Road on Bradford Park that are not part of our HOA. Alan said he wanted to talk to those folks and ask them what they thought of an HOA.
Well, if nothing else, we could drive through the area and see if perceptions, is there any difference between the streets of their area and our area.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, if you're going to compare the pros and the cons, I think we have to update, you know, our articles. They're outdated and things should be deleted and things should be added. And at least you can start saying, how does our articles compare to the city's laws?
Ordinances, and yeah.
What is the, you know, with Goodwin, let's say, that we can start putting pros and cons with items in a spreadsheet, if we can line them up. So what I try to do is just do a beginning of an outline. And if nothing more, I mean, I read through all the articles and you got definitions spread in with the article itself. And what I think it should be done is you should say, here's our area. Everybody should understand the boundaries of the area. I think we should have very well-defined definitions of terms. And then the articles, at least in the outline that I put together, you could check off and say, this needs improvement or not. And at least we could work on those and either add to it or remove stuff that's not valid anymore. And then once we get that, we have a template that you start comparing and take line items in a row, compare the pros and cons.
I will tell you that from what I, from being where I'm at on the board, a lot of the stuff that's in our deed restrictions is duplicated with the city of Round Rock. Mm-hmm. There are things like we don't have finding capability in this HOA. The original builder never gave us that authority, which has actually been a blessing, because there's people who are rather unsavory who have been on the board before who would have used that as a weapon. That notwithstanding, There's many, many times. There's a couple of folks actually right now that have things that need done, and they ignore the HOA completely. I report them to the city. The city gets involved. They take control, and I mean, they get it
done.
They
have authority, right? They have true authority.
They'll say either you do it or we'll do it for you.
Right. Or if you don't, we'll just put on your taxes. You're not getting away from your taxes. Yep. That's it.
Yep.
Right.
They've got a lot more authority than we do. So this is why I've been saying for a long time, you know, we need, and I agree with doing the pro-con thing, but as we go, I think what we're going to find is there may be one or two things that the HOA does that the city does not.
And have we identified any of those? If it's true value, what are there?
Yeah, exactly. We haven't identified that yet. We're still in the beginning parts of this. Okay. But once we get those identified, we may decide, do we really need that? Versus the folks over here on Bradford Park Drive who are not in the HOA, you know.
What about the community that's across our, where we have the Playscape? I hear that they disbanded their HOA years ago and have been operating HOA free. Now, I've talked to some of them. Some of them do have complaints, but I think overall, a lot of them are at least content, but not exactly. I wouldn't say they're happy about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it'd be good to go in the areas, look at it, and at least objectively compare. Is there a difference, you know, of how the yards are kept? And also to interview some of the people if they would like to, you know,
property values. Right. Yeah, I'd like to see the results of that.
Right.
Of that data too.
That would be cool. And Alan and I are in the process of doing that. So, and I thank you, Alan, for stepping up. Does anyone else have anything else that they want to talk about? Any complaints, criticisms, compliments, anything?
I talked to somebody at the city the other day, and he just wanted to, I was actually asking for the community yard sale signs. Mm-hmm. And he let me know that the city is planning on doing a community kind of cleanup in our area. They'd done one off of Mesa Park, I guess last month or the month before. It was pretty successful, but they're going to have a meeting on December 13th, they think, at Faith Baptist Church, just to get some community members' ideas about just kind of what kind of work needs to be done in the area, and then set a date sometime in January to provide various materials from the city, like yard cleaning materials, like mowers and weed eaters and tree trimmers, some chainsaws, and then have a large like garbage haul off opportunity. So you can volunteer to help take care of some yards that need some help in the neighborhood, like if there's elderly people or sick people who are unable to take care of their yards or have items that need to be hauled away. You can request assistance. You can borrow tools. You can, you know, work on your own yard. You can work on other people's yards. Their goal is to just do some beautifying in the neighborhood. And they would like to have, like I said, a community information and just exploration meeting at Faith Baptist on December the 13th. So I thought that would be really interesting. One of the things he mentioned was also curb painting, which is what made me think of that earlier.
What time is that meeting? Do you know?
I don't know. He said that they would be sending out postcards and more information to everybody. It's like our community and probably the community that's across the park. And I'm assuming like high country area, like Flower Hill and those communities back in there.
Okay. Yeah, I would be interested in attending that meeting, if for nothing else, to get the word out. because I could put it on bphoa.info. But I mean, if, you know, I don't mind helping folks out. It's, you know, I'm not exactly the fastest guy in the world, and I do have some physical limitations, but what I can do is what I can do, and I'll help out where I can.
I did let him know that we actually have several members of our neighborhood that are always willing to help out neighbors in need. And so I thought it would be a really good idea to and just inform our community, because we just live in such a generous community.
Well, I help out around here on Andres Way with the folks that I know who are ill or having issues. I've been mowing lawns and stuff like that. So
the right. Again, but not, I was thinking, you know, of like you and Lee Stalnacker and oh my gosh, what was that gentleman's name that helped Lee? He lives on Howell Terrace. Yeah. I don't remember his name. Anyway, so I know that we have people in the community that like to help out.
Okay. Well, does anyone have any other things going? By the way, that was great, Mo. I appreciate that. Anyone else have any homeowner concerns? Anything they want to talk about? Anything they want to ask the board? Going once. Going twice. Okay, that closes homeowner concerns. We are now going into executive session. That means if you're not a board member, you have to leave the call, because we're going to be talking about people's individual accounts and things like that. So if you don't mind, Alan, could you leave the call? And it's good seeing
you, buddy. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
You guys, you have fun. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye-bye.
Enjoy your evening.
All right.
Okay. Now we just have the board members.